Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schuler.
This morning, it's our monthly chat with Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg. Dave, good morning. Glad to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, Fredericksburg.
Well, one of the things I wanted to jump out and ask you about is I'm sure with all the different, I mean, every day is a new day for you in with what you do, Dave. I am sure there are times that people bring you, that you see some really old computers, some computers that a lot of us would think, wow.
We have some in the shop right now. I think one is, at least 20 years old.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and I've had some very, very old ones that I've kept in storage in my basement and moved with me over the years. 286, a 386, yeah. A 486, Intel, you know, PCs. And I used to have the original IBM that came out in, what, like 82-ish, I think. But we ended up throwing that out. I wish I had that back. I would love to still have that computer.
Well, because I was thinking of this the other day, just how I wished I had done some of that, even though it takes up some space. But just every once in a while, turn one of those old computers on with the green kind of screen and everything. And just remember, you look at something like that and you look at what we've got today and you see how good we have it today.
Yes, yes. And one thing that's a little surprising to a lot of people is you can have an old computer and it still can be fairly quick. I've got an older laptop in here that a customer brought in. They haven't used it in a long time. They just wanted it to be updated, the latest service packs and patches and everything put on it. And it has, you know, an old IDE mechanical hard drive in it, and it's pretty fast for what it is. And even though, you know, it's a slow CPU, it's not a whole lot of memory, and it's an old mechanical hard drive, if everything is working properly, it can be pretty swift. And so if you have a new computer that's not very fast, there's definitely something wrong with it.
Wow. A friend of mine was telling me the other day that they at a yard sale found an old computer, but it had a system restore disk with it. So they mm-hmm. bought it, and it was kind of that story. They were able to boot the thing up, and they think that they can upgrade some things and still use it. So if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's possible to a point. Sometimes it's just more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
Because the price of computers has come down considerably over the years. I remember spending thousands of dollars on it was a 486 computer back in the, I guess it was the early 90s. And it was state-of-the-art at that time. But now, if you spent that kind of money, you would have something truly spectacular. And the prices have come down, the speeds have gone up. It's one of the better things in the world. That everything keeps getting more expensive, and the portions get smaller, but computers are getting faster and cheaper.
No, I remember some of the early days and some of the first computers that we had. And yeah, they were you paid so much for them, and now you look at what you get and how small they are, and this is one area, like you say, where prices have come down.
Yeah, I used to have it was a Sager, I think it was called, laptop, and it probably weighed about 12 to 14 pounds,
yes.
And I think it was a 486 computer. And that was very, very expensive. You'd be hard pressed to spend that much money on a laptop today, at any type of laptop. And now, I mean, $400, you can get a nice entry level laptop that's faster than anything from the 90s.
I'm sure you have a lot of situations, Dave, where people bring things in and you just say you just have to tell them, you know, it's time. It's time to get something new.
We do that all the time, Ted. We do that every week, especially if if it's a laptop and it's an older laptop and there's damage to the case or the hinges, we're like, oh, no. Right when I see that, I sort of cringe because that's one of the worst things can happen if you got a broken hinge or the case is broken and the screws, everything is. That is very, very expensive, very time-consuming to fix. And it gets to a point where if it's more than 4 or 5 years old, it's going to be unlikely to be able to be fixable at a reasonable price.
I was going to ask you, so those are a couple of things. If there are some things, because a lot of times I just try to wait till you can't do anything anymore, and I always think it probably would have been better, and I could have gotten some things off of it if a little bit earlier I had noticed whether it was because it was just so slow, or like you say, some things start to you've got hinges or things started getting cracked.
Yeah. Now, if the computer is just getting slow, that's one thing. That every computer left unmanaged or tuned up, so to speak, is going to slow down. And that's just the way it is. They're very similar to a car, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The car's got, you can drive it and drive it and drive it. It might run fine, but if you don't change the oil and maintain it, one day it's going to stop, and it's going to cost a fortune to fix when that engine seizes up. A computer is very similar. It needs routine maintenance. And that type of maintenance is relatively inexpensive, and considering the time, especially with businesses, that they lose because their employees lost productivity, from slow computers, is that the cost to maintain them is peanuts compared to the cost of the lost productivity.
What are some routine maintenance things that you would suggest that people should do?
Well, one would be dump temp files, and there's a program a lot of people have heard, the CC Cleaner. That is a good free program to remove temp files, and that's going to be the first course of action. There's other things that can be downloaded and run to remove junk spyware. Most of it is non-threatening spyware, mm-hmm. so to speak. Malwarebytes, Super Anti-Spyware, AW Cleaner, and ADW Cleaner. I'm getting confused. I'm talking too fast. Anyway, there's several programs out there that are good for cleaning up computers like that. The first and foremost would be CC Cleaner.
Okay.
Because as temp files build up over time, that will definitely slow the computer down.
Now, this dates me, but I remember in the early days of a computer, every month or so, you'd go and you'd defrag it. Do you have to still do that?
That's generally done automatically in Windows. It depends on the hard drive you have. If you have an old IDE mechanical hard drive, those need to be defragged. The new solid-state drives really don't. In fact, some say it's actually detrimental to defrag them, and I'm sort of in that train of thought, too. You really don't want to defrag a solid-state drive. And actually, Windows recognizes that and what type of hard drive you have in. But sometimes Windows can be set up to automatically defrag, but it doesn't. Something hinders it and it gets stuck. And we've looked, and it's set up to run every week, but it hasn't run in 2 years. And so you got to try to run it manually or troubleshoot why it isn't running.
Okay. Well, we've done many shows since you introduced me to solid state hard drives, and I am still happy with my two solid state hard drives that Tex and the Berg installed on my two laptops, and I thank you for that. Just because the speed alone, I had to restart the computer last night, and normally that'd be a 5 to 7 minute kind of thing, and it was just a minute or two.
Yes, and it's wonderful, the new state-of-the-art solid-state hard drives. The speed of them, 10, 11, 12 times faster than the conventional mechanical drive. It makes all the difference in the world if time is of the essence.
It's a Tex in the Berg on Caroline Street in downtown Fredericksburg. Dave, the computer guy, here this morning. Quick break. We got lots to talk about this morning, and we'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dave, the computer guy, with Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg here this morning. TexintheBerg.com is the website, TexintheBerg.com. There's also a Facebook page where you can follow things. Dave, since we talked about a month ago, right around this time, what have you been up to since I last talked to you?
Oh, gosh, we're losing one of our largest nonprofits that we've worked with for about 12 or 13 years, I guess so, around Fredericksburg, and they are moving to Pittsburgh. And we're still going to support them remotely, but we'll probably contract out with some local support up there in case they need, hardware support or something, rather than driving up to Pittsburgh every time something breaks. And we've taken them basically fully on the cloud. They had some proprietary fundraising software. We moved that up to the cloud. Their email and all their storage is on the cloud. And now we're just transitioning them up to Pittsburgh. And so, clients come and go sometimes, and it's been a pleasure to deal with them. And it's the technology has allowed us to do this. All the latest technologies, it's allowed companies to be virtual and to move around, and where you can have an office at home, you can have an office at work, you can have virtual offices all over the place, and everything's seamless.
It's so interesting when you talk about something like that, because before all of this, before the cloud, before some of this came about, you would have just lost them. They feel comfortable working with you and want to keep working with you, but you're able to do it, like you say, you can do it remotely.
Virtually. Yeah. Yep. Everything's remote, and actually, most of our business clients we obviously go on site when we have to, when physical presence is required. But most of our work is remote. We have remotes that tell everything. We can sense when a CPU is getting too hot, when a fan's not working, just every statistic possible about the servers and PCs. And it really saves time and money for everybody. And a lot of times we can detect a problem before the client ever knew there was even a problem, occurring. So it can be very beneficial.
Boy, when you talk about businesses and downtime and you being able to do that kind of thing, if you can see that and know that a fan looks like it's starting to get shaky, and you can do something about that before it happens and do it off hours, you're really saving the business.
Yes, and sometimes we can be alerted if one of our clients, if the server is not appearing anymore, so to speak, on the internet. We know it virtually instantly. We get alerted, and no matter what time of day or night, and we can start dealing with that right away, rather than waking up and going, "Oh gosh, this client has no server now." And we know about it exactly when it happens.
If you're able to monitor that kind of thing, if somebody's trying to get in from the outside to a server, are you able to detect any of that yet?
Absolutely. With different firewalls.
Yeah.
The intrusion detection, absolutely. And we can be alerted, and you can also go through the logs. And actually, that's part of some medical regulations, HIPAA, et cetera, that logs have to be routinely checked for possible tampering or intrusion into the network, and made available if something does happen, that you have some recourse to find out, okay, where... What IP address did this intrusion originate from, et cetera?
Mm. But that makes it, it's almost gotten to the point. I think we are at the point where businesses really do need to look at having having a service like this just to ensure that they can be safe and keep running.
Absolutely. Some businesses, they run on a shoestring tech budget, so to speak, and it's called basically break fix, where they basically just use the computers and the network, and when something breaks, they call somebody. That generally is much, much more expensive and lost productivity than having the network maintained. Just waiting for something to break and let the computer slowly slow down over time. And you don't realize how much money and productivity you're losing because the computers are slowing down gradually over time. You don't notice it as much. Then when they're tuned up, everyone's like, wow, I can't believe how fast this is. I've wasted so many hours on this slow computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we've all been there. Hey, one of the things that we talked about last month that was really interesting, I know you were going to look more into it, was just that there are things out there, cheaper internet for families right now that are dealing with financial issues. There are things you can do if paying for the internet is getting to be a problem.
Yes, and I was surprised at some of the response I got from that. These are programs that are out there and available to families in financial difficulty, but hardly anyone knows about them, apparently. Cox and Comcast both have programs. Cox's program is called Connect to Compete, and it's $9.95 a month for up to 25 megs of internet. And Comcast's Internet Essentials is basically the same thing. It's $9.95 a month. And if you qualify for any type of financial assistance, the lunch programs or SNAP, anything like that, HUD, SSI, that can get you into these programs, and for $10 have high speed internet. That's very, very helpful to families, in financial crisis.
That's interesting, because there's so much has been made about the fact that in many rural areas around here, and in most areas where we have a lot of rural areas, it's tough to get. It's sometimes tough to get computers to connect and have that. But also, you're dealing with sometimes people. It's just hard to be able to afford internet, and this
absolutely
gives
when you're struggling to pay your bills, struggling to eat and send your kids to school, and have money for lunch, and internet can be $50 or $100 or whatever, depending on where you are and what services are available, and to be able to get it for $10 a month, that means an awful lot to the kids in school. That's such a handicap for kids that do not have internet at their house. It's really, really tough. It's almost impossible to go to school these days and not have internet.
And with the pandemic, it certainly is. So if you've got Cox or Comcast, this is worth looking into.
Absolutely, the Cox Connect to Compete and Comcast Internet Essentials. Both are about $10 for high-speed internet if you qualify. And if you have any type of financial assistance, you'll probably will qualify. And that can be very helpful to families that are having a tough time.
Yeah, no, because you might be in an area, you might be in downtown Fredericksburg and can have access, but you can't pay for it. So it's like you're living in a rural situation anyway. But this is a great
idea. There's a lot of things out there, I find, not just in technology and internet. There's a lot of programs that seem to be available that just aren't advertised and people don't know about them that, can be very beneficial to people having a hard time. And this is one of them. It could be very beneficial.
Sometimes
you just have to look.
Ask
questions.
The other thing you and I, it's funny. I was telling somebody the other day that there are certain topics with people that we when I have them in, that we always come back to at some point. And with you, it's backups. You see it all the time. People who don't have backups.
Yes, and we've seen it lately. We've had several, both residential users and businesses, lose everything. And they didn't have the backup set up properly or had no backups at all. And sometimes we can recover the data from a hardware crash, a hard drive crash. If we can't, we use a data recovery service, basically a forensic laboratory up in Fairfax. But even sometimes they can't. And most of the time, if we can't get it, they can. Once or twice in the past month or two, we've had them not be able to do it. It was some very, very important data that was lost for this company. It's going to be tremendously affect them. And so I cannot stress how important backups are. It's heartbreaking to see a family or a business lose all their pictures or all their financial data, but it happens way too often.
Well, and you've told the stories of people who think they have a backup plan, and it's not working. And so that's, even if you think you have one, make sure you keep your eye on it and make sure it's doing what you think it's doing.
Yes, and every now and then, depending on what type of backups you're doing, restore a file. Go, okay, I want to see if this is actually working. Restore a picture or a Word document or something to verify that the backups are working. And your backups are only as good as the last time they were tested. And we've had businesses that had a server crash, and they're like, we're not worried, we have backups. I'm like, okay, when's the last time your backup was checked? Well, we've never checked them. I looked. They didn't have a valid backup for about 5 years, and so they lost a lot of stuff. And so your backups are only as good as the last time they were checked.
I like that phrase, because my home system, I put a lot of things on another drive, and occasionally I'll go back a couple of years to get something, and you find that it wasn't saved. And so nothing is foolproof.
No, as long as people are involved, there's not a 100% guarantee. And no matter what we do, there can never be a 100% guarantee. We can do on-site backups, off-site backups, this and that. There's always some slim chance things are going to go awry and something could happen. But if you do off-site backups, on-site backups, rotate backups so they're not hooked up to the computers, that's about all you can do. And it would be a one in millions chance if something happened, your data wouldn't be recovered. But you have to have multiple layers of backups.
Dave, the computer guy with Techs in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg, here this morning with us. TechsintheBerg.com is the website. More coming up this morning. Much more to talk about with Dave on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Dave, the computer guy with Techs in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg, here this morning as we talk about computers and things. As we talked about, as we talked about, especially when we talked about the company moving to Pittsburgh and how you're able to do things working remotely. That sort of ties into our next topic, Dave, of just working remotely. That has become all too familiar to many people now in this area because of COVID.
Yeah, Ted, during the last year with the pandemic, it sort of forced the issue. A lot of companies may have toyed with the idea of having remote access for their workers from their house or a satellite office or something. But this really forced the issue, and a lot of companies had to bite the bullet. and to stay in business. They had no choice.
Boy, and I think a lot of us have gotten used to it. I think around, a year ago at this time, it really was something new to businesses. And I know a number of people who are working at home who think that they're going to continue to do that much longer than they ever expected.
Yes, I think this is going to be a pretty big shift that's not going to go away. I think there's definitely going to be a segment of the workers who are working remotely who that's going to be their position now. They're not going back to the office the way things were. And the pandemic has really, really changed the workplace. And the use of Zoom or Google Meet or any of these video conferencing softwares and all the different remote access that we've used it for years. There are a lot of people have on and off. They go to my PC or log me in. And now with all the different types of cloud storage, Office 365 and Google and just all the cloud services, it makes it possible without really breaking the bank.
Boy, in so many, Zoom and Google Meet especially, that has become, I mean, that used to be just kind of a business kind of thing, but now you see churches, you see nonprofits, really every segment of society is using those to be able to get together, and and in a lot of the cases, I think that that will continue on.
Absolutely. I can't imagine how many birthday parties or other types of celebrations were held over the past year through a Zoom meeting or Cisco WebEx or whatever, and all the families get together online and everyone's in front of a laptop or a webcam now.
And I remember the first time I did one, I was pretty nervous, and they really are not that hard to navigate around. And after you do one really once or twice, you've got the hang of it.
Once you use the software once or twice, it becomes second nature. You don't even think about it. And a lot of the kids these days who grow up with this technology, they're like, what are you talking about, hard to use? I'm 8 years old and I use this stuff. And they grow up with it and it's second nature to them. But for older people that have never used it, it will take a little bit of there is a little bit of a learning curve. But once you start using it just a little bit, it becomes second nature and it's no big deal.
And like you say, it is here to stay these days. If you don't use it much right now, you might as well learn how to use it, because at some point you're going to.
It's going to be part of the workplace, and it has become in a large segment of the workplace in this all over the world. Actually, the cloud-based data storage, the voice over IP phones, the video conferencing—it's here to stay, and that's it.
Dave, the computer guy with Tex and the Berg on News Talk 1230 WFVA this morning. As we talk about safely browsing the internet, that's something that you have to really be aware of just about every day now. I got something yesterday telling me that I needed to give my email provider my phone number, or my email would be shut down later, last night. And those kind of things are everywhere, and really, literally, just about every day now. There's some kind of a scam or two out there for you.
There's phishing scams. People, I get them. Virtually everyone that's on the internet with email, using email every day, you're going to eventually get this, where your email is going to be shut down, or you have a delivery that we need to verify some information,
yes,
so you can get this package delivered, or something like that. And unless you're expecting these emails, don't open them. Be very, very suspicious. That's how a lot of bad things start, is just by the click of a mouse on an email or a link without thinking it through. And next thing you know, you've opened Pandora's box.
Well, I went and changed some passwords, because I noticed last week on my email, all of a sudden, I was getting just a lot more of those kind of things, or just some spam kind of emails. And I just figured somehow I clicked on something and it's opened up something. So I went and changed some passwords, just because I had not seen just the volume, but lately I just seem to be getting more than normal.
Yes, if you're on the internet for any length of time with the same email address, you're going to get spam. I see all the time. I have businesses say, what's going on? We're getting more spam than normal. Well, probably one of your employees has purchased something online and used their email address, their business email address, and now they're getting just swamped with all kinds of junk. And it happens. If you're on the internet, you're going to end up getting spam one way or another. And it's part of being on the internet.
Yeah.
You got to be careful what you open up, and you've got to change your passwords frequently and make sure they're long, complex passwords. Do not get complacent about that. Hackers are right there, and they have nothing better to do.
I was going to ask you about that because, as I said, I change passwords, and I know that you have said to do that frequently, and and make sure they are complex.
I know it's a pain. I don't like it, and I don't know anyone that does, but it's better than the alternative. We've had so many people get their identity stolen, their credit cards hacked, and big charges on them, and just all kinds of havoc. Because, you know, someone's got their password or someone hacked them, and you've got to be vigilant about it. And I know changing the passwords frequently is a real, real pain. But it's better than the alternative.
Well, and you think about it, the people that are doing this and the people that are lurking out there are pretty sophisticated. And I thought of you the other day, where the Better Business Bureau of Central Virginia was telling me and it advised and said that, you know, a lot of times people will try to play around with these kind of things, and to not do that. To the people you're dealing with on the other side of this are pretty sophisticated, and you don't want to ever open yourself up to any of that.
They are very sophisticated. They have apparently plenty of time to do this, and I guess they don't have regular jobs. Their regular job is trying to rip people off and make their lives miserable. But they can be brutal. Let's put it this way. I've had them. I've had elderly people fall prey to these criminals, and they didn't care at all if they cleaned their bank accounts out and basically destroyed them. And they have no mercy and no heart. And if they try calling you, hang up. And I had one person thought it was rude if you hung up on them. I'm like, hang the phone up. You're not being rude. These people are being rude. They're trying to destroy you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we talked about backups a few minutes ago, and we've talked about this before. Some of these kind of situations, you know, when they'll lock up your computer and, you know, hold it for ransom. If you've got everything backed up, I know you've talked about how you're just able to, if you've got all the backups that you need, you don't even have to deal with that kind of thing. You can just wipe the computer clean and start over.
Yes, it depends. If you have good backups that are stored away from the computer, not connected to the computer, yes, you can. You should be able to just restore everything before the breach occurred, so to speak. That's still, you know, considerable time and cost sometimes, depending on the whether it's just a home PC or a business server. It can be a whole different ball game. But yes, if you have backups done properly, you can recover from that. A lot of municipalities don't have the money to have a proper IT setup, and they get hacked and they get everything encrypted, and their backups aren't any good, and then they have to pay the ransom.
Mm. As we talk about, you know, not opening things and, you know, with passwords and all. I mean, I guess that's the best way. As we talk about and think about just how to safely browse the internet, it's, I guess, just to be very careful and know that anything you open up is legitimate.
Yes, and plus it just depending on what you're doing, how much information you want out there. If you've ever done a search on like Google or or something, let's say for patio furniture.
Yeah.
Then you get on your Facebook account. Lo and behold, there's an ad for a patio table there waiting for you or something. And once you do something, depending on how you're the search engine you're using and the browser settings, a lot of information you're searching for is all over the internet virtually right then. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen that where people are buying something, go to another computer, get on another account, and all of a sudden what they bought or the whether it's a car or patio furniture or stereo or something, all of a sudden they're getting all these ads for that same stuff.
Yeah. Are there safe browsers? Are there browsers that are safer than others?
Yes, and there's settings that can be changed inside the browsers to the security settings to make it safer, so to speak. And whether it's like with Microsoft Edge or Google Chrome or Firefox, they have different types of security under the privacy search and services, strict, balanced, et cetera. That can help. And also what can help is the search engine you're using. Depending on what you're searching for, how sensitive it could be, there's different search engines that can help out. A lot of people use DuckDuckGo.
Yeah.
That's a good one for not releasing tracking information. But I'm not a big fan of that search engine. There's another one called StartPage that does basically the same thing. You can search safely without it releasing all kinds of tracking information. But it actually uses a Google algorithm. I can't even say the word now. it basically uses Google for the search and just strips away all the tracking of it. And so your search, what your search results remain the same, but none of the tracking information is released. And so I find the searches are actually better than DuckDuckGo, but either one is good as far as anonymity on the internet.
And you said it's called StartPage?
Yes.
Okay, I'd not heard of that. I'll have to check. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Hey, because when I do a search on DuckDuckGo, I'm like, what is all this stuff? I mean, sometimes the searches aren't the results aren't
right.
Anything that I'm looking for. But StartPage actually uses the algorithm from Google and just strips away all the stuff that you don't want out there. The tracking information, but the search results are the same, which I like that.
Okay. I had not heard that. I will have to check that out because I've encountered the same thing with DuckDuckGo and if stopped it just because of that. But if you have found success with StartPage, that is a good enough endorsement for me. So I'll look at that.
Yeah, I like the search results. I like, because I like Google. I like the Google search results. I don't like them gathering all this information on me.
Yeah.
So if we can use their algorithm but strip away all the tracking, then we have something there.
Yeah. Boy, I agree. I'm excited to check that out. StartPage. We will do that. Dave, the computer guy here, Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg. TexintheBerg.com is the website there, right down there on Caroline Street in downtown Fredericksburg. Quick break and we'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Dave, the computer guy with Tex in the Berg here this morning. Just a couple of minutes left, Dave. One of the things, as we talk about different browsers, I know that there are browser speeds. All browsers aren't created equal.
No, the main ones that most people know about are Google Chrome, Firefox, Microsoft Edge, and the Mac Safari.
Yeah.
And the Google Chrome is the biggest one, is the most widely used browser. It has 60-some% of the world market as far as browsing the internet. It's probably not the best one, though. It uses a lot of system resources, and actually Firefox and Microsoft Edge are both faster browsers. And one thing that's a little surprising to some people, even me, is over the years, Internet Explorer has just been, to me, a bad browser. It's just an awful browser. And now Microsoft has improved everything so much that with their built-in Microsoft Edge browser that is probably the top browser for Windows. It's fast, it's pretty secure, and it uses a lot less system resources than Google Chrome. And so Microsoft has done something right, actually.
Interesting, because I think I've just kind of avoided that. And so I'm going to have to relook at that now. It's interesting.
Yeah, and I was playing around with it the past week, just doing some speed tests.
Yeah.
From Chrome to Firefox to Microsoft Edge, and Microsoft Edge is definitely quicker. And it's still hard for me to get used to it, because when I think about using a Microsoft browser, I sort of cringe.
Yeah.
But especially the latest version of Edge is the best browser Microsoft's ever made, and it actually is probably the best Windows browser today.
Interesting. Great stuff. As always, Dave, thank you so much. Dave the Computer Guy, Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg on Caroline Street, texintheberg.com. We'll talk to you next month. Thanks for all your help, Dave.
Thank you, Ted, and thank you, Fredericksburg.
That is it. Have a safe day. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.